This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Coach Avery Johnson joins us weekly to discuss the NBA playoffs. You can see more on his camps that are coming up in the month of June at coachaverycamps.com. Welcome in, Coach. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. What a great morning. And I know we're going to talk some NBA playoffs and some Alabama basketball camp information, but I just want to congratulate Justin Thomas. What an amazing feat to be the number one golfer in the world from the University of Alabama. That's just amazing. And also Coach Murphy with softball and George with tennis, making it to the Sweet 16 for the first time in history. It's just a lot of great things happening on our campus with all of our coaches and also with Justin Thomas on the golf course.
Coach, and all those are great accomplishments. You're absolutely right. Were you as shocked as I was at the way Game 1 unfolded in the Eastern Conference Finals?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, really?
Because one of the things with Cleveland, they were in a really good rhythm, all right? They come off of a seven-game series against Indiana. They play, you know, literally 36 hours later against Toronto. They were, you know, playing every other day, good, great rhythm, older team. And then, you know, obviously they sweep Toronto. And now, you know, 4 or 5 days off, a little bit of rust, lost a little bit of their rhythm. Boston, you know, home court advantage. They knew from Toronto's previous mistake by losing game one that's not going to bode well for you. So they were ready to play. Don't tell the fans, don't get caught up in the margin of victory in these NBA playoffs. It's a seven-game series. This is a true seven-game series. I predicted this would go seven games from the beginning, so I'm not surprised at all.
What direction do you think Tyronn Lue does with his rotation? I mean, do you think he changes starting lineups going from game one to game two?
Yeah, he's done that before. You know, they'll go back and look at the film. One of the things, you know, people love to get caught up in what coach is out-coaching the other coach. So I guess Tyronn Lue in the Toronto series was, you know, a baby Red Auerbach because his team swept Toronto. Then it gets the Toronto coach fired, who was voted coach of the year by other coaches and won 59 games. And now Tyronn Lue obviously supposedly didn't coach as good a game against Boston because Brad Stevens did an amazing job. So don't get caught up into that. Players during this time of the year make plays. Sure, we as coaches got to facilitate and navigate through rotations, as you alluded to, and try to put the best teams on the court. But at the end of the day, I don't think if Brad Stevens was coaching Cleveland and LeBron James scored 15 points, I don't think they would have beat a Tyronn Lue Boston Celtics.
NBA's tough living, isn't it? You win 59 games, you win Coach of the Year, and then you're fired a week later.
Yeah. Hey, I was Coach of the Month in November back in 2012 and got fired in December. So I know the feeling. But it's just the way the game is now, and it's entertainment, it's expectations. That's what you sign up for. And I'm sure Dwayne Casey, you know, he'll think about all of the positives that he accomplished at Toronto in his, you know, 7 years there. And he'll move on probably to another NBA job because he did a really, really nice job in Toronto.
Do you find that all great defenders accept challenges like Marcus Morris did going into game one of this series? Like, he was very vocal going in. I feel like I can guard LeBron. Do you like seeing that in your best defender? Is that a DNA characteristic that you have a guy in your locker room that says, I want their best guy?
Absolutely. And part of it, you know, you have some skilled guys, you know, like Tatum that can defend. And, you know, obviously Al Horford can defend his position. But what Morris is doing, you know, it goes more than a drill in practice. That's just a DNA trait. That's a competitive spirit, that's a gift All right, and that's just something that's innate with his, you know, the way he grew up, the way he's trained. You know, he's found his niche in the NBA, and he's comfortable with it. Everybody can't be Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, who we know are injured, or LeBron James. You need guys like that. You know, one of our legends, you know, Robert Horry, who's won 7 championships when he was never the best player on his team, but he found his niche as a defender, as a three-point shooter, as a passer from his position. And those guys just learned how to embrace it, and he's embraced his role. And, you know, they got multiple bodies that they can throw at LeBron. And his time on LeBron, he's taking it very, very serious and personal, and he's accepted the challenge. And it's fun to see a guy taking that type of challenge on defensive end because, you know, the league is more about style and offense rather than substance in terms of, you know, that type of player. So I'm glad to see a player like that has found his niche in the NBA.
Coach Avery Johnson with us. See more about his camps at CoachAveryCamps.com. That is CoachAveryCamps.com. They start on June 14th, the playdate camps, the individual overnight camp, and the individual day camp, all right there at CoachAveryCamps.com. He'll tell you more about those in 1 second. Houston and Golden State begin the Western Conference Finals tonight, Coach, at 8 o'clock. And basically, Houston's philosophy is you can't make a three if you're not taking a three. They've shot almost 43-pointers per game this year. It's a remarkable stat to me. How much stress does that put on Golden State's defense, knowing that at any moment they're chucking up a three?
Well, the best defense that Golden State has against Houston is their offense. So I know, you know, a lot of people put a lot of focus on Golden State three-point attempts. And Golden State, by the way, is an outstanding defensive team. So it's going to put some strain and stress on their defense, knowing that they have to close out and play above the three-point line, not just at the three-point line, but 2 or 3 steps above the three-point line because of the range of Harden and Gordon and, you know, Chris Paul and Ariza. But their best defense is going to be their offense because the way they move without the ball on offense, people think that Golden State is second in the NBA in three-point attempts, especially during the regular season. They were something like 14th, but they shoot a high percentage. They're very efficient from the three-point line. They don't take a lot of bad threes. So I just think the way Houston is going to have to play defense against Golden State, I think that might be the kryptonite in their offense in trying to win this series.
You played the position, but if I asked you who has the advantage at point, Steph Curry or Chris Paul?
I think it's a tie. You know, both of those guys are dynamic. Obviously, Chris is a little bit older, but, you know, Chris, you know, ended, you know, round two with a 41-point game, and I think he is finally healthy. And, you know, if Chris is scoring at a high level, and obviously CP3, obviously Steph Curry can score from all different levels of the court, the mid-range, the three, the floaters, the layup game. You know, they both make their free throws. They can kind of cancel each other out, and that's what Houston's going to need. They can't allow Steph to have a +10 differential against Chris Paul every night because they're going to need more from other positions. So I think that matchup can be a pretty even matchup because Houston definitely cannot allow Steph Curry to significantly outplay Chris Paul in this series.
What were your thoughts on the Kawhi Leonard saga and how that unfolded with San Antonio? And ultimately, where do you think he ends up?
Well, as a former Spur, and really as a, you know, all of these teams that you're talking about in the Western Conference, you know, I played for Golden State, I played for Houston, or I had a cup of coffee for Houston, rather. And now when you talk about the Spurs, where I played, you know, the longest, when you see, you know, one of your teams going through stuff like this, especially with this best player and the coach and the communication is broken down, which is not normal in the tradition of the Spurs, obviously is disappointing. But people forget, you know, Kawhi still has a year left on his contract, and it's a big number. And I'm sure, you know, when things settle down, they're going to sit down and try to work it out, and hopefully is repairable, whatever has happened negatively. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, this Friday, Coach Popovich, you know, has a memorial service for his wife, that Aaron, that passed away a couple of weeks ago. So I'm sure, you know, that's the most important thing right now. And once the dust settles, or once he settles back in after dealing with this tragedy of his wife passing, I'm sure he'll sit down with Kawhi and hopefully they'll try to work something out, because they really need him in San Antonio.
Coach is kind enough to join us each week to break down the NBA Finals, and you can also see more about his camps at CoachAveryCamps.com. Coach, tell us more. They start June 14th with the Playday Camps.
Yeah, we're excited. You know, when we first arrived here 3 years ago, we probably had about 50 teams come to our team camps, and now we're going to be 100+. And, you know, teams from all over, not only in our footprint here in Alabama, but also the surrounding states. And obviously we can't mention any schools or anything, but we really appreciate the coaches and the families that bring their young men in, on our campus, and it gives them a chance to play in our facilities and see what great facilities we have, and, you know, meet our players and coaches. And then we have our individual and overnight camps following those camps. And that gives, you know, kids of younger ages a chance to come and learn about the game of basketball and also about the game of life. We teach a lot of life skills in our camps. You know, we don't just roll the balls out and Coach Avery shows up just to open up the camp and close the camp. I'm there every day. My coaches are there every day, you know, giving speeches and drills, and but also our players are there, current and former players. But it's all about life skills, not just on the court, but off the court. And we work on the fundamentals of basketball. We talk a lot about communication and footwork and being a great teammate. So it's just a great camp, and I hope our families go to CoachAverysCamp.com, sign up for it, and we'll see you at our camp.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama!
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.